It's hard to underestimate the impact Ted Stevens had on Alaska. APRN's Steve Heimel has this look back at his life and career.
Not many Alaskans would disagree with the award Ted Stevens got a few years ago as Alaskan of the Century. His influence over the course of the state's history was enormous. Even before statehood, as an attorney in the Interior Department, Stevens had a sign on the door of his office in Washington that said, Alaskan Headquarters. Stevens was a warrior and he had a quick temper. He was born in Indiana. He was a pilot in the Second World War, flying C-47 cargo planes over Burma. In the Senate, his closest friend was another old warrior, Daniel Inouye of Hawaii, who served in the 442nd Infantry. All his career, Stevens was known as a hawk, advocating for more military spending and more military presence in Alaska. Trained as an attorney after the war, Stevens was a federal prosecutor in Fairbanks and rose to be top lawyer in the Interior Department. He was deeply involved in the statehood push, and once Alaska became a state, he ran for the U.S. Senate, but he lost. Ernest Greening held on to the seat. Stevens ended up in the state legislature, and when Alaska's other senator, Bob Bartlett, suddenly died in 1968, then-Governor Walter Hickel quickly appointed Stevens to what would become the longest term ever served in the U.S. Senate by a Republican. Oil had been discovered at Prudhoe Bay, and Stevens had to go right to work with Greening on getting a bill through to settle native land claims so the oil industry could have clear title to a corridor for a pipeline. That bill passed in 1971. It set up corporations with native shareholders to hold the lands. This was followed with the passage of the Pipeline Act, with then-Vice President Spiro Agnew casting the deciding vote. It wasn't long before senator just seemed to be a natural part of Ted Stevens' name. He worked closely with the senators from Washington State, Warren Magnuson and Henry Scoop Jackson. In 1976, Magnuson and Stevens wrote a bill to lay claim on ocean waters out to 200 miles and end foreign fishing there. Fisheries would remain a central concern for Stevens for the rest of his Senate career. He saw to it that coastal communities got a share of the fisheries, and more controversial, that processors did as well. He was a tireless advocate for public broadcasting and public funding for the arts. He was uncompromisingly pro-choice. Stevens rose to chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee, and from that position he saw to it that much federal spending came to Alaska. Stevens revisited fisheries issues many times, sometimes in controversial closed-door meetings, to hammer out a bill that would then get tacked on as a rider to some budget bill already bound for certain passage. He also had to return to native issues repeatedly, finding ways to give support to the native corporations, several of which fell into bankruptcy repeatedly. He saw to it that they got favorable tax treatment, and later that they got favorable contracting terms. Both of those moves were controversial, but the native corporations rose to be major elements of the state's economy. Stevens believed in the corporations till the end of his days and felt that tribal self-government rights in Alaska had been extinguished. He tried to impose regionalization on native recipients of federal funding, without success. When they first learned that federal prosecutors were investigating Ted Stevens, Alaskans were surprised. When the jury came back with a guilty verdict against Senator Ted Stevens, it sent a chill throughout the state. When the verdict was vacated at the behest of the new Obama administration because of prosecutorial misconduct, most Alaskans were relieved. Ted Stevens was no stranger to airplane crashes. He was flying into Anchorage in 1978 on a charter flight when that plane crashed, killing five people, including his first wife, Anne. Stevens and one other person survived that crash. For the Alaska Public Radio Network, I'm Steve Heimel.